feel His sweet presence. Oh, so sweet, so sweet. Oh, Lord, we just love You. We just love You. We thank You for all the good things You've done in our lives, that we had chains on us, Lord God. We were oppressed by the enemy, Lord God. We had chains of depression, chains of sorrow, chains of poverty, chains of failure. We had chains on us, Lord God. Chains of addiction. There's nothing that was too big for You, Lord God, to set us free from. And You have set us all free, Lord God. And wherever there are still some chains on us, Lord God, I give You those chains this morning. Let's just give Him those things that we're chained to. Chains of fear. Anything that we're still battling with. Any kind of addiction. Any fear. Poverty, sickness, anything that the enemy has been using in our lives to oppress us, chains of unbelief. We just can't believe God for certain things. Let's just give Him those things right now. The way He took the chain of eternal death from all of us, that was a chain on us. We were chained in the spirit, marked for hell. And You took those chains off of us, and now we're marked for heaven. We're going to spend eternity in heaven. If He could do that, why can't He take these other chains off? Chains of deafness. Just remove these chains from us, Lord God. We just give them to You. Give them those things You've been battling with. We just give it to You right now, Lord. And we give You those that we prayed for this morning, Lord God, and some we forgot to pray for. We ask that You take the chain of cancer off of Toy right now. Just take that chain off of her. Take the chain of cancer off of Judy in the name of Jesus. We proclaim and let that chain fall to the ground. Never resurrect again. Chains of cancer off of Gus. Any with cancer that we don't even know we have it, that's been not diagnosed, we command that chain to fall off of us in the name of Jesus. Chains fall off of cancer, fall off lymph nodes for Judy and anyone else in the name of Jesus. We command all chains of depression and anxiety, mental illness, to fall off now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Not us, but perhaps, but those we love, that we know that are suffering from this. We command the chains of rebellion off of the young in our families, the chains of lukewarmness and apathy, fall off now in the name of Jesus. Chains of unbelief, fall off now in the name of Jesus. God, You're so powerful. You're so glorious. You just tell us, ask and You'll receive. Knock and the door will be opened for You. Every chain, fall off our unsaved loved ones now. The chains of eternal death, fall off now in the name of Jesus. All of our loved ones, be set free now and be set on fire now in the name of Jesus. The Lord says You have not because You ask not. We are asking, Lord God, with great faith this morning for those things, Lord God, that You purchased for us to come from heaven now to the earth. Let them come now. Let Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let Your will be done now, Lord God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. God, You are so good. You are so good. Let's just put our hands in front of us. If You can put them up, put them up. Just for a minute, I'm just feeling such a sweet anointing. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Just receive. Just receive. everybody. He has more. He has more than just taking chains off of us. He says, I have blessings for you. I have a blessing for a job for you. Rochelle, God says, I got a blessing for a job for you. You're going to love it. I got that blessing. Just receive it. Receive it. Receive that blessing right now. Good job. Good job. Some of us have had jobs, but they're not so good. God says, I want to give you better jobs. Advancements and promotions. Just take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Blessings. Take it. Take it. Right here. Take it. Whoa, Kabasikia. Take that new job. Take that promotion. Take that blessing. God says, I got prosperity for you. I've got prosperity for you. Just take the prosperity. Take it. Take it. Take it. Right from heaven. He told me today, he said, I want you to minister from heaven, and those things that are in heaven that I have for my children, I want you to call them forth. He said, will you do that for me? Will you do that for me? I said, yeah, I'll do that for you, God. He said, just come up into the heavenly realm. Just come up here and just call those things down. Send them down. Send them down with faith and with the word. So you just receive them. These things are stored up in heaven. Prosperity. Freedom. Freedom. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, blessings. Come forth now in the name of Jesus. Just receive them. Receive them. Receive them. Receive those blessings now. Prosperity, God says. I don't want you worrying about money. I don't want you worrying about how you're going to pay your bills. Ah, you're my daughter. Receive. Receive. Oh, I just see fear just whoosh, flying away, escaping the glory, the glory. Oh, faith, arise and receive the blessings, the prosperity. The health, the strength, the joy. Just receive it all. Whatever I say over someone else, you take it too. It's for every one of us. Receive it. Salvation for all your loved ones. Answered prayers. Receive it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive it. Receive it. Receive health and strength and energy and wisdom. Ah, wisdom. Oh, for every situation you encounter, God says, Lewis, I'm giving you wisdom. I'm giving you wisdom. I'm going to let you know the mind of God, how to handle every situation. Oh, strength and help. New knees, Father. New knees from heaven to come to Lewis now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, Rasa. You know what God has for you? Restoration to your body. From all the areas that you've been attacked by cancer and from chemo, just receive right now restoration to organs, to cells, to tissue, to your emotions, from the battle you've been through. Ho, 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 ho. Ah, receive it. Receive it. Oh, a new mindset. A mindset of, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I fear nothing and no one. New mindset. Oh, I just see oil dripping all over you, and it's an oil of peace. It's peace. Overwhelmed by peace. Fill them up, God. Fill them up, God, with that same peace, God. With that same strength, God. Restoration. You two are one. And as she suffered, you suffered right alongside of her. So you receive that restoration too, to your body, to your mind, to your emotions, to your spirit man. Complete restoration. Just receive it from that battle you went through. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit said, Bonnie, go pray for Bonnie. Oh, karasa, orasa. Just receive right now peace and strength. Just receive peace and strength. Just receive it. Just receive it. Comfort. He's your comforter. He holds you in his arms and he strengthens and comforts you. He's doing that. Just receive it. He's sending comfort from heaven, strength from heaven, peace from heaven. Just receive it. Receive it. Wisdom. 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 What to say, when to say it, how to say it. Just receive it. What to do is wisdom. The wisdom from on high. Holy Spirit said, Jack, just receive right now. Receive. Oh, abundance. Abundance. Oh, abundance of wisdom. Abundance of joy. Abundance of hope. An abundant prosperity. An abundance. The Lord's saying, you're faithful, Jack. You're faithful to use what I send you for my kingdom. So I'm going to send you an abundance that you can use it to advance my kingdom, to strengthen my people, to bless my children. Just receive, receive, receive from heaven right now. God's just sending things down from heaven. He's got them all stored up there. He's just waiting for us to ask with faith. And as we ask with faith, his angels perform the word and they take those things from heaven and they bring them to us. Just receive them. All you got to do is receive them. Just say, that's mine. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. I've got it. It's mine. I've got it. I've got it. Wisdom. Wisdom from on high. I've got it. Self-control. All the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Receive them. Receive them. Receive them. Oh, rasa. Receive more, more, more anointing, more power, more glory, more. Receive more gifts, more, more. God says he wants to give you guys, all of you, more wisdom. You'll know the mind of God, and you'll know God's will for your life, and you'll know how to get those things that God has for you, the gifts, the mindsets, the ideas. Just receive it. Wisdom. Receive right now wisdom. I call it forth because God wants to give you wisdom and now the angels are bringing you wisdom. Wisdom. Make wise, good decisions. Receive right now wisdom. Just receive it. Wisdom. Oh, Rasa. For every area of your life, every decision, the wisdom of God. Not wise like the world is wise, but wise like God is wise. Just receive wisdom. You'll know the way God thinks about every situation. You'll know his ideas. Just receive it. Everybody, everybody receive wisdom. Wisdom is the greatest gift. Greatest gift. Yet you don't get tricked when you got wisdom. You have success when you've got wisdom. You don't stumble and fall. You don't go the wrong direction and then have to pick yourself up and go another direction. You're always on the right path. The path of success, the path of glory. Just receive it. Receive that wisdom. Oh, he's bathing you in it. He's bathing you in wisdom. Not just a drop. You're getting bathed in wisdom today. Oh, basat yarasha. Let's receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Wisdom. Double dose. Told me to come over and pray for you for double dose. The two of you right here. Double dose of wisdom. Double dose of wisdom. Just take, put your hands up, both of you. Receive it right now. Coming right on you. Coming right on you. Oh, you know what's going to happen? When you leave here, the Holy Spirit's showing me, all of a sudden you're going to go, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. Oh, that's what this is about. You're just going to all of a sudden know things. Thank you for that wisdom, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, you're so good. You're so good. Oh, we just love you. Just love him. Thank him. Thank you so much for what you did for us this morning. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. We just love you and honor you and thank you. You're precious, God. You're so precious. You love us so much, Lord God. You don't want to give us crumbs from the table. No crumbs from the table for you, God says. That's why I had to go into the heavenly realm and go into the storehouse and get those treasures from heaven. Because he says, these are my blessed children. These are my sons and daughters that love me with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, with all their strength. I can't give them crumbs. No crumbs for you. You don't sit under the table and just lick up crumbs. You receive right from the hand of your Father blessings now. The good that I plan for you. Receive them. Receive them. Don't think, oh, that's for everybody else. That's not for me. Ha! God says, no. He says, you don't sit under the table. You sit on my lap at the table. Oh! You eat heartily of the blessings I have for you. Finances. You haven't seen anything yet. God says, more and more and more of an abundance is coming forth for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Awesome God. Awesome God. Awesome, wonderful, wonderful God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This week when I was at Hastings, oh, the glory fell there. Tuesday night, Pastor Jack and Ray and myself went as usual, but it wasn't as usual. It wasn't as usual. It was so powerful. Oh, we got there, and they let us into Classroom 5 where we always have it, but the boys were already in there with Mr. London, and they were having recreation therapy, which is they're playing video games, they got basketballs and sports equipment, and they were just having a wonderful time. And it was the boys that we were supposed to be seeing for our service, Charlie Dorm, that were there. And so Mr. Louie, the psychiatrist, had let us in. He brought us to Mr. London, and Mr. London's like, using the room. He said, can you use a different room? I said, yeah, no problem. Bring us to another room. And so Louis, the psychiatrist, went up to Mr. London. He said, you make sure, stern as anything, you make sure you bring them to another, and you get them, the kids, and you make sure this happens. Mr. London says, I'll do it. Which says an enormous amount for a psychiatrist to come alongside what we're doing, who sees these boys and knows something powerful is happening and that it has to happen. That's huge. This is the facility. Years ago, the teacher had pulled me aside and said, you could talk about Jesus and you could talk about salvation, but don't talk about the Holy Spirit. I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk even more about the Holy Spirit. And so that's what I've done. Now they're 90%, I would say, of the boys are all baptized in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. God is so good. God is so good. So we went into the other room now. The kids are all in rec therapy and playing video games, having a ball. You know what? Those kids left rec therapy and came to church. They came to church. Is that awesome? It's 17 kids. Come in there. And they were arguing over who was going to sit in the front row. I think they figured out that when they're in the front row, they're closer to the anointing. I think they got it. And so they wanted to be under the spout where the glory comes out. And one of the boys, they had come in, they had to go in with Mr. London and get ice. There was just a few of them. And so they had said, oh, these are my chairs. I'm in the front row. And so they left, and now the other rest of them comes in. Of course, they're in the front row. So now these kids come back, and this kid comes, that was my seat, right where you're sitting, Rochelle. That was my seat. I wanted to sit in the front row. Well, this could cause a fight, okay? This could cause a major eruption in the place. And so this kid that was sitting in his seat, you can have it, stands up, They hug each other, and the other kid goes and sits behind him. I know. I was as shocked as that. I was like, huh? I was right there. I'm like, wow, I can't believe what I'm seeing. They hugged each other. He goes there and thank you, and sits down. And this kid that wanted this front row seat, just about 3 or 4 weeks ago at an ice cream social, he was a Muslim. He was raised by his Muslim father and his Christian mother. And he didn't know which way he was going to go. But he was going Muslim up until that point. Well, he raised his hand at the ice cream social and told us that. And said, and I just decided I'm going to be Christian. And so here he is sitting in the front row. And so I'm like, whoa, this is something. And so I asked, how many of you would like to give a testimony? And they're like, what's a testimony? They didn't know what that meant. So I explained, if God's done something good for you, you prayed and God answered your prayer, that's a testimony. Or supposing you got prayer and something happened when you got prayer. You tell people what happened. You're testifying. That's a testimony. The hands all shoot up. I'm like, cool. So this kid, the previous Muslim, a new convert, raises his hand. I said, what? He said, well, I had to take my GED test. And I went 15 minutes before, and I sat down, and I prayed. And I asked God to please help me to pass my GED test. And I passed. He gave God all the glory. All the glory. So one after another, they're giving these different testimonies. And then this boy that's sitting where you're sitting, Billy, he raises his hand. He said, I never saw this boy before. But he said he had come to an ice cream social. And he was new. He said, when I was at the ice cream social and I had gotten prayer and what ministry was going on, he said, I saw Jesus. Jesus came and stood in front of me. And he said, and he put his hands out. I said, what did you do? Now, he's saying this in front of all the other boys, other 16 boys. He said, I put my hands in his hand. I said, what happened? He said, I've never been the same. He met Jesus. He gave him his life by putting his hands in his and like, I'm going to follow you. He had an encounter with Jesus. This is life-changing, life-changing. So that was just as we started the night. Then I said, all right, let's stand. We're going to worship. We're going to sing. These guys in this front row all stood up. And then a couple from the back row, they came and pulled their chairs over here. They decided, oh, I'm going to be up front no matter what. And they all put their arms over each other's shoulders. One at the whole row. And they all got their arms interlinked over each other's shoulders, holding on to each other, singing from their heart. Singing, 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 worshiping. Now the rest of the guys in the back there, they're worshiping like this. Without me saying, come on, let's lift our hands, let's worship God. They just entered in, jumped right in. It was so beautiful, so wonderful to just watch this. And so the Lord gave me a vision as this was going on. He gave me a vision, and I saw all the boys with their hands lifted up like this. But their feet were in mud or like quicksand all around them. And as they were with their hands in the air worshiping, the Lord came and took their hands and pulled them out. So he's holding them like this, and they're hanging from his hands, pulled out of this mud, this quicksand, and he goes and puts them on a path, a smooth path, like gold, a golden path. And then I saw angels strewing flowers, 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 all along this path. So I shared that with the boys. I said, well, God told me, he said, if you live a lifestyle of worship, this is what your life will be. I will pull you out of the muck, huh? The chains, so to speak, that we talked about this morning already. I will pull you out of that thing that's got you held fast, discouragement, depression, anxiety, anything. I will pull you out of that fear, worry, poverty, sickness. I'll pull you out of it, put you on a smooth path, and blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing will come into your life. If you live a lifestyle of worship. And then I explained to them, what's a lifestyle of worship? A lifestyle of worship is everything we do it because we love Jesus. With all our heart. We love him with all our heart. And so whatever we do it because we're doing it for Jesus. When we forgive someone that's nasty to us, why are we doing it? Because Jesus asked us to. And because we love him. That's worship. That's worship. When our neighbor's sick, or you go to Judy and you bring her food, or you massage her feet. That's worship. You did it because you love Jesus. When Jan goes and visits Judy and instructs her and helps her and teaches her and visits her, and that's worship in the eyes of God. Because we're doing it because we love Jesus. Sometimes it's hard to do the things God asks us to do. Our flesh, which we talked about last week, doesn't always want to do that stuff. Our flesh is like, sorry, I don't feel like doing this today. I want to go to the beach or something. And when we say no to our flesh and we go ahead and do it anyway, oh, that's even a greater act of worship. When we put down that flesh and we say, no, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Oh, how that touches the heart of God. That his children would love him that much to serve him in that capacity. He said, if you live a lifestyle of worship, I want you to get a visual picture of what God promises. He showed me. I'll pull you out of that muck and that mire. And I'm going to set your feet on a path where you are going to be blessed. That I'm going to send my angels to bring those things from heaven into your life. But what do we have to do? We have to live a lifestyle of worship. That everything we do, whether we eat or we drink, whatever we do, we go to work, we work in the yard, whatever we do, we go visit a neighbor, we pray for people, we intercede for our nation, we pray for our enemies. Whatever we do it because we love him and because he wants us to do it, just because we love him. If we do those things for that purpose, that's worship. And he says, if you live a lifestyle of worship, you'll be blessed. And guess what? We can even do fun things. Huh? We can, he's telling me, tell him, you can even do fun things. It isn't always just sacrifice. Huh? You could go volunteer and take care of pets at a vet because you love me. And you love to do it. And that's worship. And you're going to get blessed because of it. Is that cool? Whatever. It could be fun things. I'm going to go sit and visit my friend. And we're going to watch movies together. Because I love you, God. And you're prompting me to do this fun thing. And because I love you, that's worship. And you're going to get blessed for it. How awesome our God is. How he loves us. He loves to bless his children. He wants us to live a happy life. Jesus said, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come to bring you life and life to its fullest. He wants us to have a full, happy life. An enjoyable life. He wants us to be positioned in such a way that none of the things that he has stored up for us in heaven, for our lives, are kept from us. And what we need more than anything is an attitude of belief, devotion, and love. We have those things in place. Nothing will be stopped from reaching us. So God's just stirring our faith this morning because it's just, I got such an abundance for my children. So few love me like they love me. I have such an abundance for them. I want to flood their lives with this abundance. This morning, Maris gave me a word that I had written February 24th, 07. It was a few years ago. And she found it in a book. And guess what? It's the message God was speaking to me about this week for us. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. And God is so cool. This is what he does. He makes life so easy for us. And he confirms the word. He speaks to us. So we know, I'm hearing you, God. You know, when you seek him and you think you heard him, well, he'll make sure you know you heard him. Because he'll repeat it again and again, different ways. Now I'm going to read you some of this. It's so powerful. It was a prophetic word the Lord gave me, and I wrote it out for the church. And this is what it says. My children, I love your worship when it is sincere. Sincerity pleases my heart. You see? Huh? More than opulent offerings that come from duty and not desire. If we go and we give an abundance, or we come to church because we're supposed to, because that's one of the things God commands, but we're not doing it out of desire to be close to God. It's not the same. It says, sincerity pleases my heart more than opulent offerings that come from duty and not desire. Duty and religion walk hand in hand. Desire and passion for me embrace my heart and call me out of the throne room into your midst. You know what God spoke to me this week? He told me, he said, I'm looking for a passionate bride. I want a passionate bride. He says, I don't want a bride that could care less, really. Huh? I want a passionate bride. You know, we read the Song of Songs. It would be good for you to read it if you can this week. Read the Song of Songs, and that's just a story of these two lovers, and they're so passionate. It's Jesus and the bride. You know, and just this one part of it where he comes and knocks on the door. You know, they just got this wonderful love relationship, and he knocks on the door one night, and it's the middle of the night, and she's already had her shower, and she's in bed. She says, oh, I have to get up and put my robe on, and my feet are going to get dirty. She delayed going. And so then finally she's like, oh, all right, I'll go, I'll get up. And when she goes and opens the door, he's gone. He's gone. And so she goes all through the streets looking for him until she finds him. You know, this is a picture of us. Sometimes God knocks on the door and says, you know, sometimes it's in the middle of the night even. You know, sometimes it's an inconvenient time. Our lover is saying, come and sit with me. I just want to talk to you. I want to spend a little time with you. And we're like, oh, but God, I'm doing the dishes. Or I got to make phone calls. Or, oh, God. Well, all right. And by the time we get there, he's gone. He's gone. We got to respond right away when he's calling us, when he's wooing us. Respond right away. And just get right with him and just let him embrace you and talk to you, strengthen you. He's looking for a passionate bride. I'm going to share a dream I had once. Most of the times I don't remember my dreams. But this dream, I'll never forget. This was a lot of years ago. We were still living in Rhode Island when I had this dream. And in this dream, a wedding was going on. And it was in the church that we were attending. That was a big church. And all the people were sitting in their seats. And the platform, which was raised up, had the flowers and candles, and everything was all set up. And here's this bride, all dressed in white with this beautiful dress and veil and everything. And she's on her belly, slithering along the platform where the flowers and the candles are, fixing the flower blossoms. And she's doing this. She's like a snake, slithering along, creeping and thinking nobody can see her. But of course, everybody can. And in this dream, I'm like, she thinks nobody can see her, and everybody can see what she's doing. Now her groom and the best man are standing over here to the side. She's up there slithering around, fixing this and fixing that, getting everything just like this. And the congregation's waiting, and everybody's waiting for her to get through, fixing up what she's got to fix up. And then the dream ended. And I woke up and I said, what kind of bride would ever do a silly, stupid thing like that? I'm laughing. And I heard, my bride. My bride. My bride. What he was saying through that is we get ourselves so busy about the incidentals, we forget about our groom. We're not passionate for him. We get busy with all the things that distract us. This bride, when she finally stood up, her dress is hanging off to the side, her veil is cockeyed, she was a mess, a total mess. But the platform was just perfect. You know, what's God saying? We can be trying to make everything just so perfect, but we forget the most important thing is our relationship with the groom. She forgot about her groom standing there waiting to marry her. She forgot. She was busy with this. And God was showing me, that's what my bride is treating me like. God's looking for a passionate bride. A bride that has eyes for nobody else but him. Nothing else gets in the way of my love for you, God. Love me with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and all your strength. That's the kind of love I want for my bride. That you hunger for nothing else but me. You thirst for me. You yearn for me. You seek hard after me. That's the kind of relationship I long to have with my bride. You are the bride of Christ. You're the bride of Christ. Desire and passion for me. Embrace my heart and call me out of the throne room into your midst. An invitation filled with love and deep desire for me, I cannot resist. I do inhabit the praises of my children when they are sincere and heartfelt. To come to me because you must or because it is your habit does not affect me. We go to church because that's what I'm supposed to do. Or we sit in our prayer closet every day and say, okay, this is my time to put in. I'll push the button. I'm here for 20 minutes. Here I am, God. He says, that does not affect me. But to come to me because I am your heart's desire touches my heart and brings my favor. Now, this is how many years ago the Lord said the same thing he's saying now. Why does he repeat it? Because we haven't got it. To be favored by me brings all the blessings of a great life. I'm going to say that again. To be favored by me brings all the blessings of a great life. Now, how does that favor come forth? Through devotion. Through intimate worship. Through love, through passionate love for our Savior. To be favored by me brings all the blessings of a great life. To be favored by the King who rules over all things is the greatest treasure anyone could receive. True, heartfelt worship looses my favor and deposits my grace into your lives. Mean what you say and say what you mean. That is the secret to touching my heart and capturing my attention. True worship comes from the heart, not the mouth. Many times the right words are spoken, but the heart does not agree with the words. This is lip service, and it falls on deaf ears. Mean what you say and say what you mean each and every time you meet with me, and I will transform your life by one touch. That is worship. Dancing is not worship. Singing is not worship. Bringing offerings to me is not worship, unless your heart is expressing its love for me through it. Okay? Touching my heart with yours is worship, the only worship I receive. The heart, a heart connection. Not how loud we are, it's not how soft we are. It's not how high we reach our hands, it's not how low we put our hands. It's not that we're on our knees, it's what's in our heart. Because I love you so much, I can't but keep my arms from reaching up to you and loving you and worshiping you. That's worship. Now I'm going to just read this other part about distractions. Distractions are similar to weeds that grow in a beautiful garden. If allowed to grow unchecked, they will choke the life out of the plants around them and overshadow them, not allowing the sunlight or the nourishing rains to touch them. When you come before me, guard yourself from distracting thoughts. They are sent to rob you of your inheritance. Guard your mind. Think on those things that are good and pure. So is that true? Is that the really tough? You're in worship and we're going home and I got to cook a chicken. I hope I have enough time. Our mind goes in every different direction. And God's saying, I'm going to give you a little clue here. Distractions are like weeds that grow up in a garden and that rob the garden of its life. At times, distractions can appear to be good and constructive, but anything that is not sent by me, especially during times of worship, will grow rapidly and overshadow the good word that I'm trying to plant in your heart. Stand fast against all distractions so your heart will remain mine. Guard the garden of your heart so that the enemy does not sow weeds among the wheat of my words to you. I say words because during true worship, I will always speak to your heart. Huh? During true worship, he says, I'm going to always speak to you. Whether you're worshiping here in church, worshiping at home in your prayer room, worshiping bringing your neighbor some soup, he says, I'll speak to you. During true worship, I'll always speak to you. The channel of communication is opened by sincere worship. As you pour out your heart before me, I will pour out mine to you. God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. He wants a bride that loves him, that's passionate for him. I was going to speak to you this morning about something a little bit different. I was going to talk to you today about Jehoshaphat. That he was a man, it says in Scripture, that sought after God. He sought after God. Maybe we'll get to it next week. We'll see. But because he sought after God, that man had everything. I'm just going to go real quick. He had everything that a king could want. His kingdom was established. It says he sought after God. He had everything a king would desire. He even had the fear of the surrounding nations were around him. It says here, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse starting in verse 3. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because in his early years he walked in the ways his father David had followed. He did not consult the Baals, but sought the God of his father and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel. And it says, because of that, the people brought gifts to Jehoshaphat. Not only did the people in the kingdom bring gifts to Jehoshaphat, but it says the fear of the Lord in verse 10 fell on all the kingdoms of the land surrounding Judah so that they did not make war with Jehoshaphat. Some Philistines, which we know the Philistines were their arch enemies, brought Jehoshaphat gifts and silver as tribute, and the Arabs brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 goats. Jehoshaphat became more and more powerful. Goes on to say, oh, the wonders of his kingdom. Why? Because he sought after God with all his heart. He lived a lifestyle of worship. He not only did he seek after God, it says he followed whatever God told him. We can't just be hearers of the word. God can tell us during worship, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. We hear the word. I don't think I want to go see so-and-so. I'm not hearing God. And we don't do it. And we don't do it. Huh? But Jehoshaphat did. He heard from God, and he did just what God told him to do. And so he lived a blessed life. And then as we go a few chapters down, we see where Jehoshaphat has a problem. The Moabites and the Ammonites and the Munites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. So now he has three armies from different lands gathering to attack him. Huh? It's like cancer coming to invade us. Huh? Poverty coming to afflict us. Depression, anxiety, worthlessness, all those things. And you know what happened? It says God told him this, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours but God's. So what's God saying? He's saying, if you live a lifestyle of worship, I'm no respecter of persons. If you seek after me with all your heart, if you come running after me, if you're hungry for me, I'm going to do for you what I did for Jehoshaphat. I'm going to bless you, and I'm even going to have your enemies, those people that have slandered you, that have been unkind to you in the past, I'm going to even have them come and bring gifts to you. And, he says, if an army raises against you, guess what? You don't have to be afraid or discouraged or worried. I'm going to fight on your behalf. So Jehoshaphat gathered his army just like God told him and put the worshipers in the front. And the worshipers led the army. And they get to the top of the hill and they look, and here's the Ammonites, the Munites, and the otherites all fighting each other. And they destroyed each other. Confusion was sent to the camp of the enemy. And then Jehoshaphat gets his army and they walk among the dead bodies and they gather the plunder for 3 days. There's so much plunder, it took them 3 days and three nights to gather all the stuff. So that's what happens if we worship God, if we seek after him, and if we do those things he tells us to do. When we're in that place of worship, the things he convicts us of and says, don't do that anymore. Huh? Obey him. Obey him. Follow him. He says, if you do, huh, your life is going to be like Jehoshaphat's. Your life is going to be strewn with blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. And if the enemy does rise up against you, ha, I will turn it around for good. And you will end up blessed and you will carry away plunder from the camp of the enemy. Is God good? Is God speaking to your heart? Amen. Is God showing you stuff? Huh? God is good. We got to take that first step. I really feel God is saying, I want a passionate bride. I want my bride to come before me and just love me passionately from their heart. Passionately. That's what we saw Tuesday night at Hastings. These boys had a passionate love for God. And they didn't care who heard it, who saw it, what went on. They were just in love with him, singing, praising. The staff, before he left, came to me and said, you need to come every day. God is awesome. One of the boys, he had come in and said, I am so afraid. I am a father, and I have a child, and I don't know how to be a father, and I'm afraid I'm going to be a bad father. I said, don't worry about it. God will help you. God's with you. And when we get started, the end, he's like, I feel so good. All that fear and all that anxiety and worry that was on my shoulders is gone. I feel wonderful. I know everything's going to be all right. When you worship God, he comes in like a flood. He comes in, and what he does during worship, you can be healed. You can be delivered during worship. You can get blessings from heaven during worship. But we've got to enter into that place of passion for our King, loving him from our heart and letting it be expressed as we just lift our hands before him. Let it be expressed in the ways that you can express it. I love you. I don't care who knows it, who sees it. Such passion, such worship, such sincerity was on these boys that I knew what I was seeing. I received an email this week called, Ecstatic Worship is going to be restored to the church. That's worship that brings ecstasy. Ecstatic worship is going to be restored to the church. And this man had dreams of it, many dreams of it. And one of the dreams, he saw all people, a large gathering of people, worshiping. And they had this oil dripping off of them. And you know how we've had that oil come on our hands? I got it on me today. That, God has shown me, is the oil of unity. And this is what he said. He said, as we enter into that place of ecstatic worship, where we are just in ecstasy, we are just in passionately loving our God, if we do that, then the oil of unity is going to come. And that's when people are going to say, I know they're Christians. Look at the love they have for one another. Look at the love. And that's what we saw Tuesday night. The oil of unity all over those boys. They were loving each other. One of the boys raised his hand during the service and said, I memorized 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The whole chapter. I said, you did? Yeah, in King James. Can I say it? I said, sure. He might come and stand. He stood in front of us. And he's reciting it, huh? It was awesome. And then after a few sentences, he started stumbling a little bit because he got nervous. All the kids are looking at him. And the kids go, just take a breath. Just relax. You can do it. You can do it. They're encouraging him. They're not mocking him, ridiculing him like they would have in the past. You can do it. And he continued going, continued doing it. That's what God says. Worship me. Love me with passion. Just love me with a passionate heart. And you will see me change your lives. You will see me bring that kind of love and that kind of unity. The unity that commands a blessing will pour out on your lives. Unity commands a blessing. He says, as you worship me, that oil of unity will get all over you. And unity will not just be between me and you. It will be between you and those about you. All those in your lives. That oil of unity will spread out on all of them. Let's stand. The worship team, we are going to worship now.